Welcome to Extract Talks with Dr. John podcast. Dr. John is CEO and president of Extract Lab and United Science, an industry leader in hemp, cannabis, and the extraction industry. Listen closely as Dr. John talks about his experiences, CBD extraction methodology, and the ins and outs of owning your own business. Dr. John teaches you healthy business practices, how to increase your profits, and steps to take your CBD company to a whole new level. Let's dive in.
Hey, thank you. Welcome
to the most boring podcast ever. If you want to learn how to go to sleep and go to sleep fast, this is the podcast for you.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. At least this is the episode. We recommend this for all the people who need sleeping assistance.
And just for the occasion, Dr. John dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
I had to reintroduce him because most people you wouldn't recognize him.
Okay. All right. Because I'm not wearing my Extract Lab t-shirt, right?
Was it picture day?
Oh, well, it was. Yeah, picture day. So, all right. Today, guys, we are going to be talking about a couple different topics related specifically to quality.
Quality.
And that's why I say this is boring. Most people always, what will they do? What's going on? Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? That's
all right. All right. Well, okay. So we're going to talk about leachables.
Leachables.
And extractables.
I like leeches.
Okay. So
African queen style. Yep.
And I don't have any beautiful, presentation with tables and numbers and all that stuff.
We don't
so we're going to be
tables.
Talking about it together. And it's a topic that we have yet to talk about on our podcast.
Quality.
But it actually is really important in terms of leachables and extractables in your packaging.
Got it.
Okay. Oh. Now, you guys know that I'm kind of hyped up about making sure that, your extracts are always the most of high quality nature, that they don't have stuff in them, right?
Yes.
Like other stuff, like from another world, or
we've talked
no
about
alien
this.
Matter, no filth, no none of that, but also no parts from like the package itself. Have you ever wondered everybody's heard about phthalates, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's basically what we're talking about. So yeah. When you have a bottle, right? It's got stuff in it. Yep. And those are called leachables and extractables. And there's two different kinds. So
isn't there a reason for BPA free?
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah. BPA free. Bam. You got it. You get the gold star. So, all right. So let me just kind of narrate what leachables and extractables are.
Okay. Go.
And then we can just kind of interact on it. So, all right. So here's the thing, guys. If you have a set of packaging that you're going to put your materials into, if it's a tincture, yeah, exactly. If it's a tincture, you have some sort of oil or water soluble base. It usually goes into a borosilicate glass, right?
Yep.
And then you have on top of that you have a cap, right?
Yep.
And then there's a little seal.
Yes.
On the cap, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Yes. And so you would think, okay, well, what is a part of that tincture? Well, you have the actual tincture formulation itself
inside. Yep.
But if the tincture itself dissolves anything related to the seal or anything it comes in contact with, whether it's the bottle, the inside of the bottle, yep, or that seal,
yeah,
that those seals in the insides of the bottle, they have to be there's specifications around them that says you can't have a bunch of stuff coming out of those seals into your tincture.
Right. Because otherwise you're ingesting them.
Right. So people are concerned about plastic bottles. So this is a good example. That's a PET bottle, yeah, right? I think that's what it says on there, PET.
It does.
Okay.
But it is BPA free.
Yeah, BPA free. With BPA, back in the day, it was an extractable that came out of plastics into liquids. And then, they found that it had a negatory effect.
And it fills you with free radicals.
Yeah, free radicals. And then you get cancer and die.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're done.
No, okay. But so again, they have phthalates. So when you have any kind of a squishy plastic, those are called elastomers. They all have leachables.
Yes.
Okay. And you want to make sure that you have plastics in what they call the contact materials that they're BP, you know, they're BPA free or they're leachable free or extractables free.
And we see leaching in soil. We see leaching in a lot of different things. But when we're talking about whatever is going to be in that cap or in that seal, we don't want that in the tincture.
Right.
Yep. And you don't want that in or infusing onto a gummy or onto the tobacco or the paper.
Right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So there's a whole set of regulations. They're called food contact notification regulations. And those are promulgated by the
Food Contact
Notification.
Notification regulations.
Yes, exactly. FCN 1, FCN 2, FCN 117.
Food Contact Notification regulations.
Yeah, exactly. Got now, think about this. The FDA, in all their wisdom, has created a set of methods by which you can test materials to see if whether or not they're okay for food packaging.
Oh.
And there's different types of food that they use, you know, and they have different standards for pharmaceutical packaging. But a lot of our, you know, a lot of the customers that we deal with are, you know, food packaging is probably what you're really looking at, right?
Yep.
And so, so typically what you want to do is look for the, you know, different types of packages that are in those food contact notifications. And those then become the basis for saying there is no risk for, say, phthalates in my tincture. Or there is no risk because they did all this data. Here's the materials that I'm using. And here's all of the, you know, here's all the items that I've done all my homework and there's no risk and I've assessed the risk and there's no risk because I'm using this particular material. And this is here's the data behind it. And the FDA says it's okay.
And I think that that's really good. There's a whole big movement right now. And I have a hot pot on my countertop to attest to that because I've got I had a plastic one and that was constantly boiling water.
Right.
And they said, don't do that. And even though it's safe. So now I have a full glass and stainless steel one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So well,
you,
no
yeah, because you would actually leach out a lot of them. Okay. So a lot of people who are in extractions, they also know this if they have like, you know, if you're using, let me see, if you're using like Buna seals, okay, and you're using those with ethanol, okay, even though ethanol is compatible with a Buna seal, there are extractables in the Buna that come out into the ethanol.
Oh.
Okay, like there's sulfur-based compounds and things like that. And there's actually hundreds of them that come out. So you got to be careful about that. A lot of times people will throw away their Buna seals and use PTFE seals, which have no extractables at all that you can get out of a PTFE seal.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Sure.
Or an FEP seal. These are different elastopolymers that people would use.
Very
you
cool.
know, much like that PET bottle, right? Yep. This PET is the type of plastic that is in. So, yeah, so that's the skinny on leachables, guys. And I think that the main thing is that there's a couple different things. If you are a consumer, I mean, it's safe to, I guess, you know, I would basically be okay with the packages that were out there, you know, because they, you can't just use a package. The manufacturer has done their duty and they have, you know, they have done their risk assessments and they are representing to you that the food that you're eating is safe or that the water that you're drinking in the bottle is safe, right?
For the most part, they meet the notification regulation.
Yes, exactly. But if you are a processor or a producer of a product, that's really when you need to really start thinking about those types of things. You're going to look at your package. You're going to say, okay, what are the wetted materials? And do they have food contact notification specifications associated with them? If they do not, usually the manufacturer or whatever that seal is, they will tell you, okay, here's the materials that are in there. Here, this is the way it was made. You know, here's the different cure types that we used. And they'll share with you their process so that you can say, hey, this is now, you can make the declaration that this is now compliant with what you really want to do with your package. So make sure that it's leach free and extractables free.
So be aware. That's the key thing.
Yeah. I think be aware, from the quality standpoint, from a GMP manufacturer, they might actually be required to you know, assess the risk of leachables and extractables in all their packaging. And then they might be required also to go and do some of the tests themselves if they couldn't get a declaration of safety from the manufacturer.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. From the consumer, I would just say, yeah, hey, look, I think the assumption of, hey, I'm safe is an okay assumption. From the standpoint of a producer or a processor, this is something you should be thinking about. And then for those people who are actually, you know, producing the actual products that people will imbibe, you have to know and you have to do the risk assessment. You have to make sure that you know the materials that are being used. And then, you know, actually do the tests. They're actually quite simple to do those tests. So you can try it out. They're by weight. The tests are by weight typically. And they have different tests for different types of food. Like if it's a water-based food, they have one type of test. If it's a fatty food, you have another type of test. If it's a partially fatty food or a carbohydrate, you know, food, if it's got sugar in it, there's a different type of test. So there's a bunch of different things that you
and
can
so,
do.
And to summarize, what we're doing is we're looking at ways that to prevent anything from the packaging to get into the food, the tincture, whatever it is.
Right.
It wouldn't be like, because you've got a tincture with a glass dropper, that's going to be fine unless you try to give it to your dog and he starts chewing it.
Right.
You don't want to.
Right.
Those are bigger chunks.
Right. Exactly.
and then you go with plastic, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come to think of it, I mean, we really have gone a long way in terms of packaging. I mean, yeah. I mean, the reason that they have BPA free on there is essentially because that was an issue at one point in time. Yeah. You know, phthalates are still all over the place, right? I mean, you have them in your body, I have them in my body. We imbibe tremendous amounts of phthalates all the time, right?
Yeah.
And that's basically from packaged polymer. Either foods or seals or something like that that's been made as the food has touched it and it's leached into the food and now you're eating it.
Yep. And it's over time. So we're talking about packaging, but it's no different than, you know, when you condense that whole thing, it's when you microwave in plastic. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. That's
right.
Microwave in plastic. That's good.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're talking about here, except this is just slower.
Yeah. So that's leachables and extractables. Just one of those random topics that we haven't covered in the past. Those of you who are running a quality program, you will know exactly what it is.
His computer just said it didn't recognize him because he was too dressed up. that was actually pretty awesome.
Okay, that's not funny. let's talk about this next topic here, which is another quality topic. So
quality.
Another snoozer.
Edward Deming, ISO 9000 Six Sigma.
Not that type of quality. Oh, no, sorry. Real quality. No. Let's talk about validation, okay? Because we have.
What are you saying?
Yeah, you need validation. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, validation. Let's talk about validation. What is validation? What is validation
what
to you, Randall?
What is validation? Validation means that what you say is inside your heart is really there. No, whatever's in the package, whatever you say is in the package is in the package. And you validate that with testing.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, you could say that it's something like that. Yeah,
I think that was a C-.
That's okay. Okay, so the any type of method that you have, no matter how small, can be validated.
Okay.
In other words, and they're usually what they do is they, okay, so I'm going to have a method, and the method is going to transform A to B.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. What validation really does is it answers a bunch of questions about how reproducible I can make that transfer from A to B.
How to keep doing that and replicate
again,
that.
And replicating it every time.
Yep.
What the reproducibility is, all of the accuracy and the
timing, temperature,
timing, yeah,
everything.
And precision.
And we saw that when we did the batch record stuff too.
Yeah.
You document all of that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And then typically what also happens is with a validation study, you do that method many, many, many times, and you calculate how many times you need to do it so that you can be 95% confident in the results. Okay.
Gotcha.
So you set a confidence interval with, for the statistics, and the statistics pop out, and you're saying, okay, well, now I can say that my method is validated. That's why it takes a lot of work to actually take a method and validate it, because the validation work is really hard.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
So if you have, like, for example, a test for something, or a method to convert to A to B, or a cleaning method, how do you know, for example, that indeed your cleaning method works? So these are the types of things that a lot of the quality departments are trying to make sure that the methods that are being used have a validation to back them.
Gotcha.
And that's data. Now, whether or not you have to have a validation method, a method that's validated or not, really has to do with your risk assessment.
Gotcha.
You know, does it really matter if I have a validated method or not?
Sure.
Right. So,
well, and it does.
Sometimes it doesn't matter, and you don't want to spend the time and the effort to do it, because there's no, there's nothing, no quality that's degraded.
Well, when you're working in a GMP environment or a food processing environment, there's very little that doesn't matter.
Well, I think that as long as you reason together and you have data that says that it doesn't matter, then that's what you do. You don't want to waste your time on the things that don't matter.
I agree with that.
So usually the people will go through a full risk assessment, and they'll say for the purposes of the scope of the work, or for the purpose of the scope of the method, that the validation aspect does not matter.
Gotcha.
And so we do this with our equipment. We do this in a GMP setting with the actual method of whether you're extracting or distillation method, or if you are validating, for example, a fill of a tincture. Okay. In some cases that would matter, because it goes back to the label claim, which could get the, you know, could get the manufacturer in trouble, because the amount of potent API in the product does not match the label. So correct. then that would become a risk issue, right?
Exactly. And the repeatability, one of the things that you said moments ago, and that is going from A to B. And one of the things that I found more often than not is people getting in trouble going from A to G, and they're trying to make that one step.
Right.
And it's really eight steps.
Yeah, seven, right.
But eight.
Well, yeah, I mean, oftentimes in an SOP, you'll have, you know, six or seven steps.
Right,
but
you're validating, you have to determine whether you need to validate each one of those steps.
Right.
But that's going from A to B, then from B to C, then from C to D.
Right.
And you may or may not need to validate each one of those steps, but delineating those steps going from A to G is important.
Yeah.
Is my point.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I mean, I think that the way you would do that is you would get the quality people together, along with the engineering people and the R&D people and the people who are doing your testing. You get them all into a room.
Wow, you're never going to get anything done.
You say, we're going to do a risk assessment on this process of going from A to G. What's important and what's not? Yes, you did.
My apologies.
You just dissed our best customers. Okay. No, I mean.
No, you guys agree with me. But that is, in theory, that is very correct.
It is. It's correct. It's not correct, but it's correct. You get them all into a room, and then basically they're going to do a risk assessment. And if you have a process for that risk assessment, you're going to be able to, you're going to be able to say, okay, we all agree that this is not important for us to spend time and effort to do. Like if I have a jar full of distillate and I have to, and there's no reason that I would have to measure out 500 grams. It could be 500 grams plus minus 200 grams. Okay. Just pour it out. Right. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Okay. That's what I'm saying. There's some things that don't matter. Right.
Okay.
So, and you got to, you have to be able to assess the risk of each process. And so I think that when you're going from A to G, as long as you have a risk assessment that says, okay, B and D are critical steps, probably they need to have someone there to either do a line clear or something like that. Maybe a quality person has to check, or maybe A to G has no need for a quality check. That's perfectly fine.
Okay, so I like validation methods.
Yeah.
I like that they're built into the SOPs, and you can use these methodologies inside even the IGW.
Yeah, yeah. So you would refer systems. To as a validated method.
A validated method.
Yeah, or as opposed to just a method.
I think this was good. This wasn't so boring.
Well, it's very boring topics.
I guess you guys are the judge. Of
yeah,
that.
We'll get like dislike.
That's okay.
Don't ever talk about leachables again.
So we did leachables from a quality perspective, yeah. And we did validation from a quality perspective.
Yeah.
Tell me again, and we'll have a couple of links below here too for some of these.
Oh, things. The FCN. We should link the FCN.
That's what
notifications. FCN. Yeah.
And
the USP also, by the way, has okay. Look, if you are in manufacturing and you don't have a copy of the USP, you should get a copy of the USP because it has all these beautiful chapters in there that have that are really talking about all this. See, this is what I'm talking about. Nothing but snoring.
It's great night reading.
Oh yeah. You can take
better than melatonin, man.
I remember when I got my first copy of the USP.
You were giddy, weren't you?
Well, there was like 4 volumes there, like that thing. I'm like, how in the world am I going
to work?
Okay, let me see here. Where's the index? Oh my gosh, this is terrible. But yeah, it was a good thing they had it on
he likes that kind
at
of
the
stuff.
Time they had it on a compact disc also. Compact disc. Remember those?
Are you that old?
Yeah, they were like the compact disc with a hole in the center. Remember that?
I remember that, but that was way into my adulthood.
They don't do that anymore. Did anybody send anything out with compact discs?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Even today?
Yeah.
No.
No, not I don't today. Believe it. Not anymore.
No, I mean, maybe
okay.
DVD or something
they
like
They were
that.
Compact discs.
Even
CDs.
DVD. Even
then they went to Laserdisc. Do you remember Laserdisc?
Oh, that was in the way then, back.
That was when Laserdisc and DVDs
were getting in the way back machine
fighting.
Here.
Oh, man.
Those ones were like this big, right?
Right.
Yeah, I remember those.
You guys are hating us right now, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay, we should probably wrap this up.
This was good. Leachables, validation. This is good. If you have, there will be some links in the bottom. Tell us again what FCN stands for.
Food contact notification.
Food contact notification regulations.
Yeah, and I think I had worked on, let me see, I worked on FCN 117, I think.
Did you?
Yeah, I think that was with some polymer leachables and photo initiators.
So are you an asterisk at the bottom of that one?
No, I don't know, but I did work on it for some company. Can't remember. I think it was a photo initiator company that I worked on that with. So.
How many of you have worked with a photo initiator company?
Yeah, well, you know, for UV inks and stuff like that, for UV inks and stuff, and they put the, nail polish, yeah. And then they put them under a UV lamp, and they instantly cure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. Fun. Aren't you excited to know that? Hey, thank you for being here. This was a good show. Well done. Leachables, validation, quality methods. There's some links in the bottom, and we're good.
Bam.
Thank
All
you.
All right. See
you next
guys.
Time.
Are you stuck in your hemp or cannabis business? Are you not reaching your processing goals? Here at Extract Lab, we offer a free 20-minute CBD jam session. A CBD jam session is a conversation with an industry expert, not a sales call. A conversation where you can talk to us about whatever issues you are having right now and where you are stuck. We will help you uncover any issues you are currently having in your business, create a solution to fit your current scale, develop a future scale-up plan based on your needs and help you make your processing goals a reality, all while getting your business plan back on track. Schedule your free 20-minute CBD jam session at 1-651-600-0036. Again, that number is 1-651-600-0036.